All right, I'm going to ask you to turn to Psalm 94. We've been trying to preach some in Psalms, some in the book of Hosea. Preach Sunday, more Sunday night out of the book of Mark. But tonight we're going to be back in Psalm number 94. And I want to read the first seven verses of this chapter and try to bring the thought. I certainly wish that I was preaching something a little different tonight to try to comfort those that have lost loved ones and those that are in need. But this is where we are, and God knows what this church needs. And so this is what we're going to preach tonight, okay? Psalm number 94, the Bible said in verse number 1, O Lord God, to whom vengeance belongeth, O God, to whom vengeance belongeth, show thyself, lift up thyself, Thou judge of the earth, render a reward to the proud. Lord, how long shall the wicked, triumph? How long shall they utter and speak hard things, and all the workers of iniquity boast themselves? They break in pieces thy people, O Lord, and afflict thine heritage. They slay the widow and the stranger, and murder the fatherless. Yet they say, the Lord shall not see, neither shall the Lord God of Jacob regard it. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful, Lord, for the night you've given. Thank you, Lord, for the good mercy of God and the grace of God. Thank you for Calvary. Thank you, Lord, for the precious blood that was freely given there for the remission of our sins. Thank you for the privilege of assembling in the Lord's house tonight with your people. I do pray for your divine presence, Lord, in this place tonight. May you breathe upon every soul tonight, Lord, and give grace to every heart. May you send revival to our church. May you light a fire in our hearts, Lord, that will burn. And Lord, may you help us to get back to our first love. I pray, Father, that you'd help us tonight as I stand to preach. That you'd fill me, Lord, with the Spirit of God and with power, anoint with that fresh oil, that unction, the Holy Ghost. I pray you'd turn hearts of sinners to God. And, Lord, I pray you'd bless and help your people. I do pray for those, Lord, that have broken hearts tonight, those that have special needs, and others, Lord, that we're not aware of, that's sick and afflicted and have needs in their life. I pray for them as well. Give us grace now and divine help. And, Father, we'll thank you for what is done, for we ask it in Jesus' name, and for his sake we pray. Amen and amen. All right, the psalmist here said in verse number 1, O Lord God, to whom vengeance belongeth, O God, to whom vengeance belongeth, show thyself. Lift up thyself, thou judge of the earth, render a reward to the proud. Lord, how long shall the wicked, how long shall the wicked triumph? Now, I've got a little Sunday school lesson this morning and tonight, and that's probably about all I'll be able to give you. But I want to try to speak to you as the Lord would lead in this time that we have together tonight on man's cry for justice. Man's cry for justice. You know, if there's anything we need in our country, it's justice. And that's right. And so this is man's cry for justice because the wicked seem to be triumphing over the people of God. And so I want to preach on that a little while tonight. Now, if you notice in your Bible, there's no name given that this psalm is attributed to. There's no writer here mentioned, no name mentioned as to the person that wrote this psalm. It's another one of those anonymous hymns that we find in God's songbook. And there are many nameless utterances that have been uttered in the past, or maybe voices of the night of weeping, maybe even shouts from the mountaintops of thoughts or prayers unto the God of life, which belong to no individual, but they descend as an heirloom to successive ages, and to enrich every generation. So I want to pause there for a moment and say I'm glad tonight that the Bible is up to date. There's nothing behind on the Bible. It just is up to date today as it was many years ago when it was penned down by those that God inspired to write this holy writ. It's just like an heirloom, the Word of God is. I mean, it's like a priceless family treasure that's been passed down from one generation to another. And that's exactly what the Bible is. It is a family heirloom, a family of God. And God has passed it down from generation to generation. And it's just as real for you and I today as it was for those in the days of the writer of this particular psalm. It could have been David. It could have been Asaph. It could have been Solomon. It could have been many others that wrote these psalms. But they're used to enrich the lives of God's people. Now, I want to say, if you read in the psalms much, they're bound to do something in your heart and in your life. I love the book of Psalms. We find there real life stories, realistic stories of those that lived and the circumstances that surrounded their life and how God delivered them out of many dilemmas that they found themselves in, many calamities of life that they found themselves in, and how God blessed them and how God delivered them. Now, these circumstances or these victories or these shortcomings or these possibilities of man are continually repeated from generation to generation. We find them in every generation. And likewise, experiences of the church often reappear in history that we may receive the inspired utterances of them in one age to be equally appropriate to the sorrows and the joys of another. In other words, the joy that they felt in the days of Paul, or even as far back as in the days of Moses, you and I can experience that same joy today. And a lot of people don't think we can. The joy that they experienced in the book of Acts as they labored with God being with them, preaching the gospel, and seeing souls being turned to Christ, that same joy can be experienced today. When Brother Foley got in, I hope I don't embarrass this person, but when Brother Foley got in up here Sunday morning, I was just standing here and a crowd was kind of passing by and I happened to notice back and I saw Mrs. Simpson back there and she was almost kind of jumping and kind of clapping her hands a little bit. You could tell she was excited about what was taking place in the house of God. And that just about caused me to take a lap. I would have if I didn't think my legs would have gave out. I believe I would have took a lap. But what I'm saying is that same joy that filled the heart of Peter and John in Acts 5 when that crippled man by the beautiful gate got saved, that same joy is available for you and I today. But unfortunately, the sorrows that they experienced are just as real for us today as well. And they went through many trials and tribulations. And we're going to go through them today. They experienced many sorrows in their day. And one thing I like about the Bible, God doesn't try to avoid those times. That's one way I know that man did not write the Bible. Had man written the Bible, everything in it would have been good. There would have been no sorrow. There would have been no tribulation. There would have been no problems, no troubles. Everything would have been fine. And everybody would have had a piece of pie by and by in the sky. But that's not the way the Bible is. Man didn't write the Bible. God wrote the Bible. And God wants you to know, and God wants me to know. That's why He's given us this book, that as there were sorrows in their day, there's going to be sorrows in our day. And I won't say this to you. I want you to listen to what I'm getting ready to tell you. I believe I can find this in the book not Lamentations, but in the book of Ecclesiastes, I can find this. Where the Bible said, with much knowledge cometh much sorrow. And I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of people today say, oh, take us deeper in the Word of God. We want to know more about the Word of God. We want to know more about life. Well, I want to know more about the Word of God But I'm telling you, the more I learn about life, the greater the sorrow is that fills my heart from day to day. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, there's some real heartache and heartbreak in this world we're living in today. I've never seen such a time as what we're living in. All you have to do is look at the faces of people and their countenance, and I'm talking about out in the public in general, and what breaks my heart is even in the house of God. Now, you can look at the heart, the face, the countenance of people and see the sorrow and the calamities and the troubles that they're experiencing in their life. I mean, you'd be surprised at what expressions tell people. The expressions of the face tell us a lot of things, and they really do. And I'm telling you, you go out in the world, out in society today, and people that are supposed to be enjoying themselves seem to be the people that are the absolute most miserable people that I have ever seen in my entire life. You can say amen right there. It's a sad, sad day that we're living in. Now, I see in this psalm a man's cry for God's justice. Now, I want you to get a hold of what I'm saying or you'll miss the whole thought. It's not revenge that the psalmist is looking for. It's vengeance. And there is a difference, and I'll explain it in a minute. He said, O Lord God, to whom vengeance belongeth, O God, to whom vengeance belongeth, show thyself. Now, it's not revenge, as I said, that he's looking for, but vengeance. Revenge bears with it the idea of retaliation. Now, I'm going to tell you that is natural. That is natural for the natural man. He wants to retaliate. When someone offends him, the first thought in his mind is retaliation. But that's not the way that God's people are to think and live. That certainly wasn't the way our Lord lived when he was dying on the cross and they spit in his face and smote him and reviled him and mocked him and said, if thou be the Son of God, come on down and we'll believe you. But yet he looked up into heaven and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. It wasn't retaliation that he was looking for. Had it been for retaliation, he could have called 10,000 angels to help him at that time. In fact, he didn't have to call nobody. All he had to do was spoke the word, and that whole crowd around him would have went back to dust from whence they came from. Well, listen to what I'm saying. With the word of God's power, he'll destroy his enemy. So it's not retaliation that the psalmist is looking for, but it is vengeance. And there is a difference in those. Revenge looks for retaliation, while vengeance looks for justice. It's justice that he's asking for. What he's saying is, Lord, we're living right. You may look around you today. I'll get to the message in a minute. You may look around you today and see people that are living like the devil, and yet they appear to be doing better and are more well off than what you are. And you're wondering in your heart, Lord, what am I doing wrong? I love you. I live for you. I go to church. I tithe my income. I give to missions. I give to the radio station. I give to help the poor. I do things for the church. And yet these that are living outside the church and are lost and going to hell seem to be getting along better than I am. And the natural man would want to retaliate on that. But it's not so in the Psalms. The psalmist is looking for justice. He's saying, Lord, we're thy children. They are triumphing over us. They are having a heyday. And by the way, they are having a heyday over you and I today. You might as well say amen right there. I'm telling you, the devil is having a heyday, ladies and gentlemen. And the worldly crowd is having a heyday. The ungodly is having a heyday because they seem to be having victory over the people of God, just like the Midianites had victory over Israel in the book of Judges. Somebody say amen right there. That's exactly right. Now, you stay right with me. Injuries are revenged. But crimes are avenged. Crimes call for justice. And it was a crime, a spiritual crime, of what was going on during the day of this psalmist. And he's simply asking God for justice. Justice would bring mercy to him, and justice would bring judgment to the unbelieving and to the ungodly. Vengeance indeed is not for man. Are you listening to me? Did you hear what he said there? He didn't say, Lord, let me avenge these people. He said, Lord, to whom vengeance belongeth. Vengeance belongs to God. Because man in his failures would degenerate to revenge. If God let give it in our power to avenge those that were offending us, it would soon come to retaliation and would soon come to revenge, and we'd be retaliating against them rather than avenging them or bringing justice upon them. And I hope you understand what I'm saying there. Amen. Now, what it says, I will get even with him, cries nature, but those of us that are saved those of us that are saved will live above him, says grace. Amen. That's what grace says. We don't have to retaliate against somebody that has done us wrong. Amen. Now, I'm telling you, that is a problem, especially in our churches today. If somebody has wronged me, buddy, I am going to get even with that person. If it's the last thing I do, is the thought that runs through the minds of most Baptists today. But I'm telling you, it ought not to be that way, brethren. Now, I'm going to tell you how you can tell it's coming when they puff up at you and when they begin to withdraw themselves from you, when they're not as friendly as they used to be with you. You can just mark her down in your little black book that they've got there. They've been offended, and they're not looking for justice. They're looking to retaliate. They're looking for revenge against you for what they think you've done against them. Come on, I hope I'm making myself clear. Amen. I hope I am. Now, grace lives above that. Grace does live above that. We don't have to retaliate. Somebody said, Brother Hall, how can we keep from it? Look at the Lord, as I mentioned earlier. Go back and read your Bible. Our Lord was rejected by man. All men. And that word all in the Greek means all. All men forsook him and fled. That's right. Even his own disciples, some Peter, even denied the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm here to tell you, not one time did he try to retaliate. But with love in his heart and grace in his life, he lived above that. And rather than retaliate, he brought justice when it was time for justice to be brought. In other words, what God is saying, and I believe this is what the psalmist is saying, and he said, how long, Lord? How long, Lord? What he's saying is, Lord, I know I'm giving you plenty of time, and there's coming a day. It may not be today and it may not be tomorrow, but there's coming a day when God's justice will fall on this crowd that seems to be reviling the people of God and offending the people of God. I believe that's what he's saying here in the psalm. Now, what I see here, I see the psalmist cry for divine intervention on his part. He said, Lord God, and stay right with me. I'm going to point out some things in this text. O Lord God, to whom vengeance belongeth. O God, to whom vengeance belongeth. Notice the first word he says, show thyself. Show thyself. I'm going to preach on these three things if you want to write them down. Show thyself, lift thyself, and reward the proud. That's the three things that the psalmist asked for. Show thyself, lift thyself, reward the proud. That's what the three things that he asked for here. But he's got that is a cry for divine intervention. He says, Lord, show thyself. That word, those words literally mean, Lord, shine forth. Or Lord, be a light. Shine forth at this time. And divinely intervene for us. Now, when the Lord shows himself to the ungodly, What he's going to do, he's going to vindicate the righteous. Now you can just mark that down. That's why vengeance belongeth to the Lord. And that's why we're never to retaliate against somebody. It's because the Lord will eventually vindicate those of us that are righteous and living righteous in our life. Somebody said, Brother Hall, do you have an illustration that I'm glad you asked? What are you going to do about those three Hebrew boys in the book of Daniel? That's right. When they told them, when they heard the sound of all this music, to fall down and worship that image. And they didn't get too ugly about it. They just told the king, we're not going to bow down. We're not going to worship your rock and roll music. We're not going to worship your country and western music. Come on now, say amen right there. We're not going to worship that stuff. And the king said, there's only one thing that we can do, and that is to throw you in a burning, fiery furnace. Now, somebody said, did they get thrown in the furnace? You better believe they did. They stood to their gun. They were righteous. They wasn't going to give in. They wasn't going to cave in. I'm telling you, we're living in a generation today that is caving in and giving in to sin and ungodliness that they might find a little ease in this life. Rather than stand for old-time religion, we're caving in and giving in. But if we'll stand, ladies and gentlemen, and let Nebuchadnezzar throw us in that fire, I'm telling you that God Almighty will vindicate us in what we stand for, in standing for truth and righteousness. Somebody said, how did he vindicate them? I'm going to tell you how he went in the fire with them. Better believe he did. He went in the fire with them. Nebuchadnezzar rose up and said, hey, said, didn't I throw three men into the fire? And they said, yea, O king. And he said, well, I see four in there. And said, one of them looks like the Son of God, not a Son of God, as some Bibles read, the Son of God. Now, I'm going to tell you, they wasn't a hair on their head singed. They were bound when they were thrown in, and they come out with the unbound. They wasn't bound up any longer. There wasn't a hair on their head singed. They wasn't even the smell of smoke upon them. What did God do? God vindicated His own because they stood for righteousness. That's exactly what the psalmist is saying. Lord, avenge us, justify us, because I'm standing for what is right. Would you vindicate me against this ungodly crowd that is raised up against me? Amen. That's right. Come on, little children. Now, you ought to be shouting right here in a minute now. That's exactly right. Show thyself to vindicate the righteous. What are you going to do about Daniel? God promoted Daniel in Babylon, and all those princes went to the king and said, there's this Hebrew, Daniel, and said, we've made a decree that, and you've signed it in writing, that we're not to bow to any other god save you, O king, for a certain, but said, Daniel still prays to his God. And so Daniel, knowing that decree was signed, went to the window, opened it up as he did four times, three times a day, got on his knees, looked towards Jerusalem, and cried out to God. What are you saying, Brother Hall? He would not bend to their ungodliness. He would not bend to the law of that land. Somebody asked me the other day, said, Brother Hall, what are you going to do if they pass that law that they'll put you in jail and let you marry a sodomite, and a sodomite comes down here and wants you to marry him? I said, I guess I'm jailhouse bound, friend. It'll be a cold day in the boogeyman's house when I marry a queer. Amen. That's right, I ain't a man no queer. You can just mark that down. If I know he's a queer, I ain't a married a queer. In fact, I don't marry nobody but members of this church. That's all. And we've got in our constitution, can't no queer be a member here, so we're all right. Somebody told me the other day, they knew a preacher that put in his bylaws, told his people, said, I'm not marrying nobody. Nobody, not even you. Said, that way if the law comes down on me for not marrying one of these sodomites, said, I'll be clean. I just tell them I don't marry people. Well, I'm not going to be that big of a coward. That's a coward. That's the easy way out. I'm the pastor of this church. And if there's people in here that are living right for God, want to get married, and they're all right, I'm going to marry them. But I'm telling you what, I'm not marrying no faggot. Amen. That's right. Hallelujah. Not about to. Somebody said, well, what will happen? I don't know what will happen, but I can tell you what will happen in the end, somewhere down the line. God will vindicate. God will vindicate the righteous. They said, Daniel said that. The king said, there's nothing left for me to do but to throw you into that den of lions. And in that den of lions, old Daniel went. But early the next morning, the king round and said, oh, Daniel, has thy God been able to deliver thee? And he said, he's able, and he has, O king. And said, I've not offended God, neither have I offended you. They brought him up out of that pit, and that crowd that turned against Daniel, that king threw in that pit, and those lions gnawed on them and crushed their bones and killed every one of them. But Daniel went free. I'm telling you that God vindicated the righteous man. Hallelujah. And God will vindicate us today. That's right. We don't have to cow down to this group. Amen. No, sir. A bunch of baby killers. And
amen.
That's right. The sodomite crowd and this ungodly Hollywood crowd and all that other crowd.
Amen.
Have to bend, bow down to them.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you what's burning me up. Might as well blow it off my chest.
Amen.
Is this Hollywood crowd that's funneling all these millions of dollars into the political arena. And so many of them now are becoming politicians. Wrestlers. Actors. Actresses. Becoming political candidates. Running for office. And they're throwing big bucks. Big bucks. You know why? Now, I'm going to tell you why. You mark it down, friend. The borrower is what, Brother Jerome? Yeah, it's subject to the lender. You better put that down. And I'm going to tell you what they're doing. They're buying their way. They're buying their pornography they put on the internet. And they're buying their pornography they put on television. And they're buying their movies at XXX that they put on television. They're buying it with their big dollars. Somebody said, Brother, I ain't seen that. Well, where you been? I thought you were saved and had your eyes opened up. I thought you were enlightened a little bit. God have mercy on us. But I'm telling you, there's coming a day down the line, buddy, when God will vindicate His people.
Amen.
You better believe it's right. Amen. So it said, show thyself. In other words, vindicate thy people. Now, God has but to show Himself, and the good cause will always win. Show thyself.
Amen.
God chose Himself. I'm telling you, those that stand for right, they're going to win the battle.
Amen.
Just by God. Hey, that's right. When God comes in, I think it's Revelation number 19. When God comes, when Jesus comes riding on that white horse, all He's got to do is show Himself. And the game is over, friend. We're winners again. Somebody say amen right there. Hallelujah. Amen. I know that's right. Thanks be unto God. Make a man want to run his head through the wall. I wrote this down. I forget who the fellow was said this, but said God said he about God said He comes, He sees, and He conquers. That's right too, ain't it? And truly, I tell you, in these evil days, we need a manifest display of His presence and power, because the enemies of God are always struggling for the mastery over God's people. Do you hear what I said? That crowd wants mastery over us. They want to control us. They want to run us. They want to rule us. They want to tell us what to do. And they're getting by with it. We can't have prayer in the school. We can't have God in the school. We can't have the Ten Commandments in school. And they're getting by with all this stuff. We can't stop the baby killers. They're getting by with all this stuff. Now I'm telling you, plug up one loophole today, and someday they'll punch a hole in another place. They're not about to give up. And I'm telling you, if they don't give up, we better not give up either.
Amen.
That's right. Praise God, that's exactly right. Amen. Now, He not only to vindicate the righteous, but to give victory over the ungodly. Notice verse 3. He said, Lord, how long shall the wicked? How long shall the wicked triumph? Now notice this. Notice how he describes this crowd. They're described as being wicked. Folks, you can't get beyond that. I'm not reading from a Sears Roebuck catalog. It's King James 1611 Bible. And he called them wicked. That means that they're depraved in their character. Look at verse number 5. It said they break in pieces the people, O Lord. They afflict who? Thine heritage. That is, they cause sorrow and humiliation and deep depression of heart to the people of God. Why? Because they're depraved in their character. Son, there's no character. Come on now. There is no character left out there in the world today. We got a bunch of people that have absolutely no character about them at all. When I was a boy growing up, a man's word was his word, and he stood on that word. And buddy, today, you go to the bank and borrow a little bit of money today, it ain't your word they want. It's your signature in about 999 different places. Somebody say amen right there. They want to know how many credit references you can give, who you owe, who you don't owe, how much you make, what you don't make. They asked me the other day, they said, how much you make? And I said, well, really, ain't none of your business.
Amen.
I ain't telling them.
Amen.
I ain't telling them nothing.
Amen.
That's right. You can take a flying hike for all I care, bud. It ain't none of their business.
Amen.
They asked me down to VA the other day. They said, the first time they've ever done this. But walked in there and they said, I want you to fill out this paper. I'm talking about something about that thick. And I said, well, there's questions on there. Take a PhD to answer. One of them post-hole diggers. Yeah, I started reading. But there were two I come to understood. One of them said, what is your politics? I said, uh-oh. The next one to it said, do you own any guns? I said, uh-oh. And you've already signed your name to it. So it don't matter whether you just put an X by it or leave it blank. I mean, and if you're a Christian, you can't put no and lie about the guns. And I certainly to God wouldn't put down when I'm a Democrat. So what are you going to do? They got you. Come on, Brother Steve. I know what you are. You and Cater and a whole bunch of you, Mobart Millport, right? God. But I know you didn't vote for Obama either. I hope not anyway. If you did, I hope I don't find out about it. God. Yeah, mercy. Amen. But they're depraved in their character. Notice also, hey, they're diabolic in their conduct. Look what it says in verse number 6. They slay the widow. Can you get a hold of that? They slay the widow and the stranger, and murder the fatherless. Now, I'm telling you, if the Bible says anything about anybody that ought to find compassion from people, that's the crowd. The widow, the fatherless, the poor, they are to find compassion from God and from people, but not this crowd. They will not show this crowd any compassion. That's the ones they're going to prey upon and murder if they get an opportunity to do so. That's exactly right. They deal arrogantly with those who are the most evident objects of compassion. And I'm going to say that it's real wickedness to single out those that are most vulnerable to be victims of fraud and murder. Son, I'm telling you, there were some people visited my wife's grandmother's house one day. If I could have got over there, Scott, Brother Jerome, close your ears. You ought not to hear this. I'd have beat the living daylights out of somebody. I would have. They come in like they're going to sell something or do this, these two men. And one of them gets my wife's grandmother and grandpa. They're old, and gets them out in another room. And this other sucker goes through her, and they don't believe in banks and fruit jars. I mean, they put it right in the pocketbook, buddy. Every penny they got in her pocketbook and stole every dime she had out of that pocketbook. Now, that's this crowd here. They're depraved in character. They're diabolic in their conduct. They're devilish. They are of the devil himself, ladies and gentlemen. That's the crowd here. It's the crowd that the psalmist is asking God to avenge. Is the devil's crowd, that ungodly crowd, that wicked crowd that would prey upon those that are the most vulnerable and cannot help themselves. That's right. God help me, y'all. Y'all not just making me preach. I'm just having a good time. Now, listen carefully. Listen carefully. They're not only described as being wicked, but they're declared to be workers of iniquity. Look at verse number 4. How long shall they utter and speak hard things? And all the what? Workers of iniquity boast themselves. Now, can you get a hold of that word, workers of iniquity? This reference is not made to men who make a pastime of iniquity or who occasionally commit themselves to its service. But it's those who toil and labor at it as a business. Oh, somebody said, you mean there's really that kind of people in the world? Oh, yes, haven't you read your Bible? Haven't you read your Bible? Can I, and I won't, I'll just read this. I won't take much time. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. Know this also, and in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away! My Bible don't say go after that crowd. From such, turn away! It's what my Bible says. Turn away from them. And here's why. Here's why. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins and led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. Now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds reprobate concerning the faith. Now, I'm going to tell you, they ain't no hope for a reprobate. That crowd, there's no hope for, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, no, they want to creep into these people that are vulnerable. Even in the house of God, I'm telling you, that crowd gets in the house of God, they'll prey on the most vulnerable in the house of God. They'll look for that sick sheep or that weak sheep or that one that falls behind, that one that's astray. That's who they're going to prey on. You can do whatever you want to do. I'm going to kick him in the hind end out the front door out there, buddy. If I'm a fool with Brother Hall, I'm going to tell you that right now. Amen and amen and amen and amen. That's right. Now, notice secondly, he says there. He said in verse number 2, lift up thyself, thou judge of the earth. Lift up thyself. In other words, ascend to thy judgment seat and acknowledge thyself as the ruler of men, and moreover, raise thyself as men do who are about to strike, that's yours, Brother Jerome, with their might. For the abounding sins of mankind requires a heavy blow from the hand of God. Man. And I'm telling you, it does, folks. If God leaves them alone, if God leaves man alone, they'll only grow worse. Had God left you and I alone, it's untelling where we'd be today. But bless His wonderful name, like Miss Ruth said, thank God that Sunday morning Jesus passed by where we was, hallelujah to God, and lifted us out of the miry clay. Bless His wonderful name. He's not left us to ourselves. We got a shepherd that guides us and leads us every step of the way, thank God. I'm telling you, hey, if we'd have been left ourselves, we'd have been like Mission Impossible. We'd have self-destructed a long time ago. Say amen right there. But thank God, God came by and saved us by His marvelous grace. Amen. He's leading us a long life's way, friend. Bless His wonderful name. Amen and amen. That's right. Man left to himself will destroy himself. And this crowd will eventually destroy themselves. I'm going to show you something here in a minute. Now, that word literally means lift thyself, to set up. Now, the term lift up thyself implies this, but it does not imply that God is lying down, but that He is to take His rightful place on the throne to avenge His, don't know about throw a brick at me, His elect. Now somebody said, do you have any scripture for that? I'm sure glad you asked me. I've read this to you many times, but I've never used it in this light. Luke chapter number 18 and verse number 1. That Bible said, and He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying there was in the city a judge that feared not God, neither regarded man. There was a widow in that city, and she came unto him saying, avenge me, there's the word, avenge me of mine adversary. The Bible said he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge says. You better hear what he's saying. And then he said, and shall not God avenge his own elect that do what? Which cry day and night unto him. That's what the psalmist was doing. A cry for deliverance, a cry for justice, a cry for vengeance. That's what he was calling for. For God to avenge him. Shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with him? He said, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Amen. Bless his wonderful name.
Amen.
God will vindicate us, friends, what he's saying. Amen. Hallelujah. Can anybody say amen on that?
Amen.
Isn't that wonderful? Now, he says, set up. We said, lift up thyself. He said, set up. And then he said, stir thyself to defend. Stir thyself to defend us. The enemies of the people of God were triumphant over them and were proud and insolent in their triumph. It is not seldom, now listen carefully, it is not seldom that the wicked in their prosperity, now get a hold of this, and power have arrogantly lorded it over the righteous. Prosperity, apart from divine grace, engenders presumption and fancied self-suffering, self-sufficiency, and self-boasting. You know anybody's doing that today? Do you know anybody that's prospering real well? And they're just boasting about it? And they're making themselves a lord over God's heritage? I can name you a bunch of them. And it starts out in the White House.
Amen.
Oh, yes. They've got the loot, man. They don't give a flip about you and your health one whit. You can say amen right there. You know what they want? To figure out a way to get money in there to become powerful in this land and powerful in the world so they can boast themselves of what they are. And I'm going to tell you, they'll use God's people or any other people to get what they want. And it ain't just the White House. It's the Congress and the Senate right along with it. That bunch of congressmen and senators is wicked as hell itself. Come on now. Amen. That crowd over here in Frankfort wanting to put in that bunch of slot machines, I'm telling you what they want. They're doing that because, there's two different groups of them. One of them's for the horse track. The other is for the slot machine, and they're warring about which one's going to get which. You know why? It's not because they care which is which. But whichever one of them wins, gets the money. Come on now, folks. I'm giving you a history lesson tonight and a good lesson in economics as well. If you'll listen to Brother Hall. And he's asking God to stir up himself to defend them against that crowd. And I'm going to tell you, the Bible does say that we're to pray for kings and for all that are in authority. But it don't say how we ought to pray for them. Pray for them. I know how I'm going to pray. I won't say it offends some of you. Jerome's got a very good mind. That's right. They're destroying what I stand for. They're destroying everything that I stand for. You know what one of them said the other day? He said the Vietnam veterans are one of the biggest one of the largest groups in America that could bring rebellion to our country. You know what? They're right. I'm going to tell you why they're right. I'm going to tell you why they're right. We're the only generation that's got the guts to do it.
Amen.
The one coming up behind us ain't got it.
Amen.
This earring wearing crowd, praise God, grommets in their ears, you can fly a 747 through. They ain't got it.
Amen.
They want the Vietnam veterans' guns. Hear what I'm saying? They want them. You know why? Two reasons. One is, hey, we've used them before. Number two, we can use them again. And three, know how to use them.
Amen.
They don't like that.
Amen.
Amen. So, come on now. Somebody said, preacher, are you not for our government? Oh, yes, I'd fight for America tonight. But I'm not going to fight for what's wrong.
Amen.
Are you listening? Well, that crowd's a wicked crowd, friend. That Nancy polluted. I could say some things, but I won't. When he said there in verse number 2, he said, render a reward to the proud. Reward the proud. What he's saying is give them measure for measure. Blow for blow. They hit us, you hit them. They hit us, you hit them. Blow for blow. You think God can do that? Do you think God will protect His own? If God watches over the sprouts, ladies and gentlemen, amen. Are you not worth much more than many sparrows? Sure you are. God's going to watch over you also. Hallelujah. Now, judgment is a prerogative of God. Period. Not man, but God.
Amen.
Somebody said, preacher, can you? Oh, yeah. He said, O Lord God, to whom vengeance belongeth.
Good.
Don't belong to anybody else.
Good.
Justice, nobody else can bring justice.
Amen.
Justice comes by judgment, by the way.
Good.
Now, listen carefully. Romans 12:19 said, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Now stay with me, I'm just about done. His names that's used here reveal this. He uses, O Lord God. O Lord God. Now, Lord is El. God is Jehovah. And what it literally means, these names together recognize God as God Almighty, El, and Jehovah, God the self-existent one. Come on now, listen just a little bit longer. Hey, God the self-existent one, who is alone entitled to take vengeance. These words literally mean the God of vengeance, or the God of vengeance, and He is the God of vengeance. Now listen carefully. The vindications of His people and the punishment of their enemies is a sole prerogative of God's. He will render righteous judgment to the wicked, and He alone has the right to do so.
Amen.
Nobody else. And He will.
Amen.
He will. You can mark that down. That's right. Judgment is sometimes long delayed. Look at verse number 3.
Amen.
Lord, how long shall the wicked? Then he says, how long? He says that twice. Shall the wicked boast? Shall the wicked triumph? And how long shall they utter harsh speech? I mean, really, it's mentioned three times. Three times it's mentioned how long. And one time, our time, hey, How long is used three times here and would indicate this, that judgment is sometime delayed.
Amen.
But our time of suffering and trials are always seem to be long and wearisome. And in the night of weeping and waiting, they wearily drag the hours along. And so we cry to God in that time, how long, Lord? Now, you can say what you want to say, but I'm telling you, the people of God are not in the best way today
Amen.
That we've ever been. I wonder if we're crying out, how long, Lord? Somebody said, well, the Lord's going to do it right now. Not necessarily. Listen very carefully to what I'm getting to say. Very carefully. God's payday is never late.
Amen.
Is never late. When God was speaking to Abraham, now you got to get this. When God was speaking to Abraham, he said, your generation of your people are going into a strange land. But he said, I will bring them out. And then it's just something strange that the Bible says. He said, for the sin of the Amorites, it's not yet full.
Amen.
I looked at that and I said, what are they talking about? One thing and goes to another thing. You know what happened to the Amorites when God's people came back? They put out the land!
Amen.
And God told Israel, I'm not giving you the land because you're good. I'm giving it to you because they're evil.
Amen.
And God couldn't judge them because their sin was not full. God's payday is not always on Friday, ladies and gentlemen. But God's payday will come. And God's payday will come for that crowd out there. You can mark that down.
Amen.
Somebody said, why hadn't he done it yet? Their sin is not yet full. Do you know when the days of Noah, when the people that lived in that day, when their sin got full, you know when it got full? When God said, Noah, you bring your family and come on in the ark. And when he went in and God shut the door, their sin was full.
Amen.
And the flood came and destroyed them all. And if we're living in the days of Noah, don't sound like there's going to be too many yet die with it today.
Amen.
He destroyed them all.
Amen.
Now God will avenge His own elect. And God will avenge you and I. We may be having it rough right now. Things may not be easy on some of you. I know paying bills is not easy on some of you. Getting by is not easy on some of you. I understand that. But I'm telling you, God will. If you'll do right, God will avenge you by and by. Let's stand together.